Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now enjoy the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
It's my privilege and honor now to commend to you the sacred scriptures. The Bible is the fully inspired Word of God. It is the infallible revelation of His will, the authoritative revealer of doctrine, and the Bible is the trustworthy record of God's acts in history. So what do you say then? Let's prayerfully and humbly read and study the Bible more, for in it we will find hope for every crisis, but more importantly, we will find our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died to redeem us from our sins. Will you please pray with me? Our Father in heaven, Lord, now we take time to open the sacred scriptures. As we do so, we invite your Holy Spirit to attend our time. Please bless us. Please help us. Grant us wisdom and understanding. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Our study today is entitled, Stand Still a While. And this is our opening take. It would be good for each one to take some time daily. How often? Daily, to send the servant on and to stand still a while that you might hear the word of God. Oh, that men would not neglect the word of God, either the hearing of it or in the private reading of it in their homes. For there is something in the Bible that suits just you. Whether you are old or young or somewhere in between, there is something for you in the Holy Scriptures. There is a word of encouragement. There is a promise that is uplifting. There is a teaching that will give clarity to your thoughts and to your mind. There are commands that will lead and guide you and empower you in your life. There are all these things that meet you just where you are. Therefore, give the sacred scriptures a fair opportunity and stand still and hear the word of God. Please open your Bibles with me to 1 Samuel chapter 9. And we want to begin our reading and our study with our key text, verse 27, and then we'll head on into several verses into the first part of chapter 10. So we're in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9, starting with verse number 27, and the Bible says, "And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, 'Bid your servant to do what? To pass on before us.' And he passed on, 'But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God.' Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, thou shalt find two men.'" Notice the word of God that Samuel shares with Saul that are going to happen that day. "When thou art departed from me today, then shalt thou find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, 'The asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son?' Then thou shalt go on further from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, another 3 loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they shall salute thee and give thee how many of the loaves of bread? Now, 2 of the loaves of bread, and thou shalt receive it from their hands. After that shalt thou come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come there to this city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery, a tabret, a pipe, a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord, what will the Spirit of the Lord do? Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into something. What is he going to be turned into? Another man. And let it be when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And then notice verse 9, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him something. What did God give him? God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that very day. Amen. And so you remember from our study last week, Kish sent his son Saul with a servant throughout the land to search for the donkeys that had gotten away. And they checked out 2 or 3 fields, a couple of city areas around the area, and they were not able to track it down. Finally, they ended up in the city where the seer was, where the prophet Samuel was. And the servant says, why don't we tarry here? Let's take a pit stop here, and we'll see if the prophet's in town, and we'll ask him. Maybe God will show him where the donkeys are. And of course, they ended up meeting the prophet Samuel in his city. Samuel entertained them for the evening. And then early the next morning, they are heading out of town. They're on the edge of town. They're at the end of the city, end of all the houses. And Samuel says to Saul, 1, send your servant on before us. And the Bible says the servant went on. 2, what did he tell Saul? Stand still a while. So why did Samuel tell Saul, send your servant on, and then I want you to stay put and stand still a while? Why did the prophet tell him these 2 things need to be done? The Bible says, because the prophet is about to speak. The prophet is about to share something with him. What is the prophet going to share? Going to share the word of God with him. So Saul is to send his servant on, and we talked about what that meant. His father gave him the servant to complete some duties that day. And what does it mean to send the servant on? It's just this idea. Take some time to set aside the duties, because you're going to take some time now to hear the word of God. So is it important for each one of us to make sure we take some time to send the servant on, to take some time where we slow down and set aside the duties, the business of the day, and the responsibilities of the home circle? Set these things aside for a little while. And then what's the next command? Stand still. Stand still a while. Slow down. Take a pause. What for? The prophet's about to speak. What for? So that you can hear the word of God. So Saul, he sends his servant on. He stands still, and the prophet speaks. Question, what is the subject that the prophet is about to speak about? What's the answer? Yeah, send your servant on, stand still a while. My Bible says that I may show thee something. Show him what? The word of God. The Bible says, stand still a while that I might show you the Word of God. The subject matter is the Word of God. I'm grateful, what about you, that God has given to us His Word. Today we call it the Bible. I heard one time someone say the B-I-B-L-E, and I love that song, don't you? As an acronym for basic information before leaving Earth. And I like that too. You know, I'm grateful for God's Word, aren't you? King David would write one time that the Word of God was a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. So the subject that Samuel is bringing to this young, goodly man, Saul, is the Word of God. And that God should give us His Word at all. What do you think? That God would give us His Word at all is very gracious. It is amazing that God should condescend to speak to us. Think about it. For our Heavenly Father to bring down the great teachings and understandings and meanings of His mind. Have you ever thought of it that way? For God to take time to take some of the things that He understands as He rules the universe, to take the things that are in His mind and bring it into human language down here is an amazing thing. When God spoke from Sinai, you remember, the Bible says He touched down on the top of Sinai. The mountain shook and was filled with smoke. I can imagine God pulling over a big boulder on the summit, to the center of the summit, and used it as His pulpit, as He shared the Word of God in the midst of tempest and lightning. It was an awesome thing for God to do, to speak directly to His people, to take time and the ruling of the universe to come down to our little solar system and our planet, to touch down on a mountain in the Middle East and to speak to His people. What an awesome thing that was as He let them know, I am the God who delivered you out of Egyptian bondage. I am the God who has showed you all my love and all my mercies. And because of that, I now give you my commands that will lead and guide you through how much of your days? All your days. We should be grateful that God steps down to speak to us. And He continues to do that. Do we still have God's Word? In these last days, He has spoken to us, not from Mount Sinai, but the Bible says, by His Son. Amen. Jesus Christ, in John chapter 1, tells us, is the Word. Jesus Christ, who is the Word, has come down into this world to interpret God to man. It is as if God says to us, you wish for me to speak? This is my speech, my Son. Read my love to you in the fact that I gave my Son. Read my justice to you in the fact that my Son died in your place. Read my mercy to you in the fact that in Him, in my Son, I will pass by your transgression, iniquity, and sin. Praise God for His Word. And so, how should you and I respond? I would like to suggest that we should respond today and each and every day until He comes by making sure we take a little time to send the servant on. Stand still for what? For a while. For the prophet is about to speak. God sent His only Son to die on a cruel cross to redeem us from sin. And shall we turn aside and not regard Him? If salvation be worthy of the death of the Son of God, it must be worthy of our attending to it. If Jesus thought it worth His while to bleed upon Calvary's cross for our salvation. It is worth our while to put everything aside until we are saved. It is worth my while. What about you? It is worth my while to head into my room and shut the door. Amen. It is worth for you to take that time. Go into your room, shut the door, and understand that we dare not rise from our knees till we have found peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely that which occupies the infinite mind of the three persons of the Godhead will surely call to every wise man down here to lend his ear and give some thought to receive the precious things that God gives us freely in Christ Jesus. So let us be thoughtful. Amen. Let us be thoughtful and stand still a while and hear the Word of God. And for us, the Word of God are the words of the prophets and the divine Word, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us the principles of God's kingdom. And those thoughts were recorded in books like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then the early church continued to tell the story of his deeds and his love. We need to send a servant on, stand still, for the prophet speaks. Need that time to consider the sacred scriptures. You remember in the book Great Controversy, there's a chapter towards the end of that book that's entitled The Scriptures Our What? The Scriptures Our Safeguard. I would like to share with you a few thoughts from that chapter. And I quote, "But God will have a people upon the earth to maintain the Bible and the Bible only as the standard of all doctrine and the basis of all reform." I want that in my life, don't you? Continuing on, the last great delusion is soon to open before us. Antichrist is to perform his marvelous works in our sight. So between now and the time when Jesus comes, we're going to be able to see not only God working, but we'll see the devil working. And can the devil do miracles? Miraculous works, he can. Antichrist is to perform his marvelous works in our sight. So closely, check it out, so closely will the counterfeit resemble the true that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by what? The Holy Scriptures. By their testimony, that is the testimony of Holy Scripture, every statement and every miracle must be tested. So do you see why I need to spend more time each and every day in God's Word and learn of God's love for me and learn of His will in my life and learn what the Bible says about what is to take place in the future? You see how important it is for you to do the same? One last quote, "None but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through that last great conflict. To every soul will come the searching test." Notice a couple of questions. Shall I obey God rather than man? The decisive hour is even now at hand. Are our feet, another question, are our feet planted on the rock of God's immutable word? Are we prepared to stand firm in the defense of the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus? I want to, don't you? And in order for us to rightly stand upon God's word, upon the faith of Jesus, upon the commands of God, we are going to have to spend more time in the sacred scriptures. The words of the prophet Samuel to Saul are good for us today. Send the servant on and stand still a while so that you can consider the Word of God. Now, in particular, the Word of God, which Samuel spoke to Saul, There were a few main points there, and I would like to review some of these points as we begin to wrap up our message for today. The first point is that the prophet Samuel informed Saul of a kingdom. He informed Saul of what? Of a kingdom of which he would be king, of which Saul would be king. The young man Saul had never dreamed of that before. Do you think, Saul, as he was growing up, do you think he ever thought of being king of Israel? No. I mean, up to that time, did Israel have a king? No. Who was their king? God was. God ruled and spoke to Moses, who then shared the information with his people. God spoke to the prophet, and the prophet gave the information to his people. At that time, Israel was under a theocracy. One of you, I think it was a couple weeks ago, asked me if I was going to dive into the particulars of the transition of the leadership of Israel at this point, going from when God is their king to where now man is going to be their king. I said, I'm not going to go there. You could buy that. By the way, that's a rich study. Understanding the true implications of God's will for his people. It also has implications for civil authority and civil rulers and the authority in the church. It's important to understand some of these things because the time is coming where, guess what? These things are going to get mixed up. And church and state, you know what church and state are going to do? They're going to go like this. And when they go like this, they're going to enforce certain laws. They're going to teach certain things that are not the true gospel. They're going to enforce a certain worship that is not the worship of God. And so we have to be clear on those things, but we're not going to get into the details of that. What we're simply going to show is that when the prophet Samuel talked to Saul, what did he do? The first thing he did is he told him of a kingdom of which he would be king. The young man Saul had never dreamed of that before. He had only thought at that particular time, thinking about his father's donkeys. But the throne and a crown had never entered his mind. But once the prophet spoke up, it was on his mind now. The word of God was calling him to be king. Royalty over his kingdom and over his people. He was to seek first God's kingdom and his what? His righteousness. And all these things that would then be what? Added to him. And what I would like to suggest to you today as we think about that thought and make application is that if we would take daily time to stand still a while and read and hear from God's word, we too will become God's royalty. For he has made us, the Bible says, kings and priests unto God, sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And eventually, if we stay faithful to him, we shall reign with him for how long? Forever and forever. Knowing these things, I hope the business and duties of this world do not occupy all of our time. I hope that the school's weekly quiz, and I'm grateful for our school over here, aren't you? Grateful for our teachers and our kids. I hope that our school's weekly quiz don't take up the majority of thought. So those of you who are at students at Holland Academy, don't take up too much time. The teachers are going to throw me out of the church. Don't take up too much time with the weekly quiz. I hope the seeking of your degree at the university doesn't call for all your energies. And I hope that the pursuit of excellence in the place of your profession doesn't absorb all your mental powers. And I am not calling you away from such noble pursuits, but I am reminding you that there is something higher than these. While we are to excel with the talents and assets and duties that God has given to us here on earth, We must not be contented with just these, for God calls each one of us to a higher destiny, to something more noble, more important than the earthly stuff and gains. Think about it. Little did Saul dream that on that particular day, the kingdom would be given him. And little do you and I dream of such. But if we will send the servant on and stand still a while to hear the word of God, we will find that God has a place for us in his work and in his kingdom. We are to seek first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what's the promise? All these things will be added unto you. And in the end, by the way, this is just a reminder for us all, in the end, all these things of earth, guess what will happen to them? They will fade away. But the crown of life which Christ gives will never fade. Praise God. He offers us his kingdom and his ways. The prophet Samuel not only spoke about the kingdom, but he showed him the word of God by an anointing. By what else? Yeah. Well, once he said, you know, let's stand still a while, hear the word of God, you're going to be king, and then he anoints him. The prophet Samuel not only spoke about the kingdom, but he showed him the word of God by an anointing. The prophet took out a flask which contained a little oil. And what did he do? He poured it on Saul's head. And then he said, the Lord has anointed you to be captain over how much of God's inheritance? All of it. And so the day when Saul stood still and heard the word of God, that day he was filled with the Spirit of God. And the greatest need of the church today, I believe, is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. My greatest need and yours in our walk with God is a fresh baptism of the Spirit of God day by day. The Bible teaches us that it's not by might nor by power, but what? By my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And sometimes we are tempted to think that the answers to our challenges as individual Christians and the answers to our challenges in the church at large are more and better thought out by going to a particular program or seminar from the conference, the union, or to the division of the general conference. So listen, may I say something here? Are you ready for it? While many programs and seminars are good and needed, and by the way, here in Michigan, I've gone to a few of them. They're wonderful. While many programs and seminars are good and needed, we don't need more programs and seminars coming down the pike. That's not our greatest need. We do not need more weekend seminars up at Campus Hobble, as wonderful as they are. Our greatest need, you know what I believe our greatest need is? Our greatest need is that which was given to Saul that day when he sent his servant on, stood still a while, and took in the word of the prophet Samuel. And he was filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. God anointed him with power in his life and gave him wisdom to lead his people. There's a devotional book. It's a compilation of some of the writings of Ellen White on the subject of revival. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's called True Revival. On page 9 of that book, check it out. A revival of true godliness among us is our greatest and most urgent of all our needs. What's the greatest and most urgent of all our needs? Yeah, this revival of true godliness. Well, how do I get that? We read on. To seek this should be our first work. What's our first word? Yeah, to see a revival, a true godliness in our lives. There must be earnest effort to obtain the blessing of the Lord. What's the blessing of the Lord? Not because God is not willing to bestow his blessing upon us, but because we are unprepared to receive it. Our Heavenly Father is more willing to give us his what? Holy Spirit than our earthly parents to give good gifts to their children. So I'll talk to the dads here for a second. Dads, fathers, do you like to give good gifts to your kids? Absolutely. You know, I want to do the best I can. I want to be able to give everything and anything that I'm able to give to my children. Why? Because I love them. God's willingness to give us the Holy Spirit is more than that. Much more. Our Heavenly Father is more willing to give us the Holy Spirit to them that ask him than our earthly parents to give good gifts to their children. Acts of the Apostles, page 50. Check this out. The lapse of time, follow. The lapse of time has wrought no change in Christ's parting promise to send the Holy Spirit as his representative. It is not because of any restriction on the part of God that the riches of his grace do not flow earthward toward men. If the fulfillment of the promise of the Holy Spirit is not seen as it might be, it is because the promise is not appreciated as it should be. If all were willing, what a wonderful promise. If all were willing, all would be what? Filled with the Spirit of God. And a Spirit-filled man and a Spirit-filled church is a happy thing to see and be a part of. Such a church is a blessing in the community and humbly plays its part in the hastening of the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then the last thing Samuel spoke to Saul about was that he would undergo a change. Said, Saul, send your servant on, stand still a while, hear the word of God. You're going to be called to a special place to rule over God's kingdom. You're going to be anointed with the Spirit of God. And then with that, you yourself will undergo a change. The Bible says you shall meet a company of prophets and you shall prophesy and become something. Become what? Another man. Saul would become another man. You study that idea out, it means he would become a new man, a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Spirit came upon him, and what did it do to him? It changed him. And for the first part of his reign, the Bible tells us he was a good king, and God's people were blessed. And they were a blessing to the other nations around them. If only he had continued in that direction, who knows what mighty blessings God's people would have done. But instead, what did he do? He went the other way. He decided to not send his servant on and got wrapped up in the duties of the kingdom. He decided he would not take time to stand still a while in the presence of the prophets, in the presence of God's word, and ended his life even going to a witch for counsel. But the good news for you and I today is if we would stand still a while, tend the duties on a while, take in God's word, invite Christ into our lives each and every day, we would be anointed with the Spirit of God, and we would be changed. Our hearts and our minds, our thoughts and our feelings would become more and more like Jesus, and our characters will be changed more into his likeness. The good news today, there is not only water to wash away our sins, but there is oil to anoint us with the power of the Spirit. Christ can take away your sin, cleanse you, and through the power of the Spirit, change you in every way. God will create you a second time. He will destroy in you the power of selfishness. He will destroy in me the power of selfishness and sin. He will bring you and I under another dominion and make us eager for that which is right and good. So it would be good for each one of us, amen, to take some time daily to send the servant on, stand still a while, that we might hear the word of God. Oh, that men would not neglect the word of God, either the hearing of it or in the private reading of it in our homes. For there is something in the Bible that suits just you and me. And whether we are young or old, there is something for us in the Holy Scriptures. There's a promise to encourage us, a teaching to lead and guide us, a command to empower us. All these things that meet us just where we are. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, therefore, give the sacred scriptures a fair opportunity in your life. Send the servant on, stand still a while, and hear the word of God. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we are grateful that you have given to us your word. We're grateful for Jesus, who is the word, who was the active agent in creation. And we're thankful that you are able to recreate in us new life, that you're able to remove our sin and make us more like you. Lord, it's our heart's desire this day as we have our heads bowed to recommit ourselves to you and your word. Help us to take the time to set aside the servant. Let the servant go on. Let the duties go on for a while and stand still a while to hear your word. Oh, Lord, we pray that we would do this each and every day until you come. And we ask that you would keep us to this in the worthy and precious name of Jesus. And let all the church say, amen.
You've been listening to Mike Lambert, pastor of the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit his church this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. You will find the Holland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 11279 East Audagon Street in Holland, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 10:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.